How come our traffic lights are not synchronized?
How is it that Mopac is ad-free?
Get the answers from KUT's AT Explain Project. You can subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. This is you.
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
This is KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten. Summer, especially June, is a busy time for weddings, especially here in the Austin area. Yes, even in this heat. Weddings, you know, have lots of customs and behavioral expectations attached to them. I guess kind of etiquette, if you will. And that got Central Texas neuropsychotherapist Bella J. Rockman thinking about good manners and good behavior in a time when that seems in pretty short supply. We chatted recently over Zoom about what etiquette even means these days and if it still even really matters.
So one that I have is the conduct or procedure required. This is interesting. I think this is Merriam-Webster. It says, required by good breeding. And I say breeding in big air quotes. The conduct or procedure required by good breeding or prescribed by authority to be observed in social life. I do want to say what is etiquette to one person is perhaps even offensive to another if we're looking at this from a global perspective, okay? So I do want to take that into consideration and that we have subcultures within a culture in the United States.
There's a really interesting word in that that struck me, and that's the word required. I'm curious if you observe any differences over, you know, the span of your life in how people kind of regard manners and regard etiquette.
Some of this could go back to sort of like the golden rule that we've heard about, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? And that becomes problematic when what we would do or what we would want done for us is different. When I think about this, like I'm using this as an example for dating, there's a lot of people that say, well, hey, I don't want to open a door anymore for a certain person or a certain gender because they're going to be offended and think that I'm not treating them with equity. And then there's others that will say, oh my gosh, I can't believe the door wasn't open for me. Like, what kind of person is this? Is chivalry dead? So I think part of it is understanding that as our culture evolves and shifts, what is quote unquote required changes. Being nice is sort of requirement, people pleasing stuff. If we get into some, you know, psychoanalysis stuff, we're people pleasing. We want to be pleasing to others on a surface level. Being kind is being honest, being direct, and it's treating others with compassion. So we kind of have to learn as we go with whom we're working with. And it has evolved over time, especially when we talk about and we introduce and invite the conversation of technology into this, Jennifer.
I do wonder if the speed and access and ease of technology and communicating that way has changed what we consider sort of polite and appropriate.
So one of the things that happens, like from a neuroscience perspective, is that we have something called neural mirroring. We have this adaptability with our central nervous system and the way we collect information and data through our eyes, through our ears, and then process it through our prefrontal cortex is we mirror what we see. If we're neural mirroring the AI that we're seeing and working with all the time, artificial intelligence, and we're not noticing that we're doing that and taking some pauses to do some stuff IRL in real life, I want to say that I can't demonize the folks that are kind of caught up in that flow of connecting because we're doing this at disproportionate amounts, and I think we have to bring balance to it.
Can you talk a little bit about how it impacts us psychologically to either have good manners and be polite to others or not to do that?
We are experiencing collective post-traumatic stress. Some of the frenetic energy that you're picking up on and what one might say, oh, they're so rude. I would argue that a lot of that so rude is that they're so traumatized and have no idea. They're living in their sympathetic nervous system. They're living in a state of shutdown, which is frozen, which is hypervigilant, which is depressed, which is chaotic, perhaps. And so we've got to do some work to heal as a collective, you know, nationally, statewide, citywide, because there's been so many traumas and traumaversaries played out again with the use of technology right before us. Even if we didn't experience it ourselves, there's vicarious trauma. The second part of that I want to say is that it does affect us neurochemically because we are creatures of connection. We are creatures that move in groups, right? And so if you're not getting that group interaction on a regular enough basis, you can become what I would call like love starved. It can create a love hunger. It can also create like a rejection dysphoria where you don't feel very well liked by people. You don't understand why. And then when you do feel offended, or you feel that you've been mistreated or slighted, or someone was impolite, or the waiter didn't even thank you, and the waiter, you know, all these different things that may happen. But if you're taking that and your nervous system doesn't know all of these social, economic, political factors that are creating these expressions of trauma or expressions of stress or anxiety or depression, your nervous system just knows that it's feeling unsafe, right? And so then we fire off heightened amounts of neurochemicals or neurohormones that are not really good for us in the long run, like a heightened amount of adrenaline, right? Or cortisol, right? So then we start to live in a stress state.
I think about some expressions of etiquette or manners or being polite. I'll just take one like thank you notes. Like a lot of people don't write thank you notes anymore or don't even necessarily acknowledge a gift, or maybe they send a text. Is it really like the worst thing in the world if some of these things have fallen away, like thank you notes? Is that like really terrible in the grand scheme of things?
I would probably argue that some of those customary codes of conduct, I would argue that some of them should be held on to, because I think that some of them create the framework for which we function as an organized society. Even at the 7 and 8 year old age, I'm like, yeah, we're going to make eye contact today, folks. Yes. And we're going to say, yes, thank you. Yes, please. And no, thank you. So that we have some level of like sort of civility. I think it's what sort of helps give a framework for our humanity. I don't know, in a very non-clinical way. It's like, I think some of this we want to keep in the thread as we are evolving, keep it in our cultural thread.
Bella J. Rockman is a neuropsychotherapist in private practice in Central Texas. Bella, thank you so much for your time and discussion today about manners and etiquette.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, my name is Miles Blockson, and I'm